resemblance right away? Glory to God. Glory to God. Come on, God is good. Hallelujah. We're living in an interesting time. I hope you all are praying. I hope you all are praying for our country. Come on, we need prayer. We need prayer right now. It's just amazing. You just got to lift Jesus up and just know that He's behind. He's on the throne, man. He's working. But as Christians, it's time for us to raise our voice a little bit. Make some people mad, you know, because you're going to. But if we don't, things are going to be completely different in just a small amount of time. Glory to God. There's a couple of bills out there. There's one that's misnamed the Equality Act. And it's just... Now listen, we are for everybody having the right to be who they are, given the right to do what... You know, we're not against that at all. But... And I don't want to get too political, so I won't. But the reality is we need to be in prayer for this and about this. And if you feel led to call your senator, just call him up and say, I don't want this, I don't want this, I don't want this. Do you know who's... The conservatives are out against it, but you know who else is against it? The feminists. Isn't that odd? The feminists. And why? It's because this bill will take away womanhood. It just will. So it's called the Equal Rights Amendment, and it passed the House, and now it's gone to the Senate. So we just need to pray against it. I think it's evil. I think it's wrong. And so that's all I'm going to say about that. Glory to God. If you got your Bibles, open to 1 Peter chapter 2. We were there last week, but I want to go into a different area. 1 Peter chapter 2. Glory to God. How many are citizens of the United States? Right? Citizens of the United States. How many have dual citizenship? Yeah, I do too. I do too. Because I'm a citizen of America, but I'm a citizen of heaven. Right? This is not my home, actually. This is just the place where God has put me to stay. But my home is just a little ways away from here. In fact, in reality, in the spirit, it's here. You know, sometimes we look at, man, when we get to heaven, it's going to be way out there somewhere. I mean, you know, see that star up there? You take a right at that star and you go over there and beyond that galaxy right there. That's where heaven is somewhere. But really, in the spirit, heaven is right here. How do I know that? Jesus said the kingdom of heaven has come. The kingdom of heaven is within you. It's glory to God. But let's go to verse 9. First Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. Are you ready for this? But you. Say who, me? Yeah. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. You know, as Donnie was saying, that we were born for such a time as this. It wasn't an accident that I was born in the year that I was born. I'll tell you what that year is, but some of you younger folks think I'm really old. But I'm not, right? 1953. I was born in 1953. And, you know, and watch this. That's so cool. I was born for such a time as this. Alex, are you behaving yourself? Okay. I'm just making sure. Watch this. I was born for such a time as this. I was born exactly when I was supposed to be, at the exact time that I was supposed to be. And this chosen generation I fit into. You fit into that. You were born in a generation, but you're not just the generation of the world. You're the generation that God has placed you in. I'm a chosen generation. I'm a royal priesthood. What does that mean? We kind of look at it a little bit differently, but really what I think is the priests are the ones who went and prepared sacrifices for the Lord. And now that I'm a believer, I'm a priest unto God. In other words, I can come to Him anytime, any place, and offer the sacrifice of praise. Whew, glory to God. I loved when Linda was up here. I just got to praise the Lord. We need to be more rowdy with our praise, by the way. It's all right to shout a little bit. Right? Hallelujah! Shout unto the Lord. Praise the Lord. Come on. Because He's been good to me. I'm tired of the Wally Cox praise. You know, hello, praise the Lord. You know,
somebody might hear me. So I'll just say praise the Lord under my breath.
No. No, Jesus said, if you don't praise me, if they don't praise me, the rocks will cry out. Right? I'm not going to let a rock take my place. I'm going to stand in my priesthood and worship Him and praise Him. Right? Look at His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Everything He gets praised for. Do you know that God is using you so that others will praise Him? And for eternity, others will praise God for you. Amen. And what God did in you to bring you to Christ. Amen. Come on. Glory to God. I got a testimony. You got a testimony. And it seems like we judge the testimonies by how bad we were before we got saved. Like if you were a murderer, drug dealer, whatever, and you got saved, man, that guy's got a good testimony. Anybody that's saved that was translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, praise the Lord God. That's a great testimony. That's a supernatural testimony. Glory to God. It says in verse 10, you who were once not a people, but now are the people of God, who have not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy, beloved, I beg you, so as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against your soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, so that when they speak against evildoers, they may, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. In other words, what God is saying, listen, you've been saved, you've been born again, you're not citizens of this earth. But live in such a way that you glorify God in everything that you do. Because you're a citizen of heaven. Come on. A citizen of heaven. Real quick, go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to read quite a bit there. While you're turning there, I'm going to just read this definition of what a citizen is. What's a citizen? Glad you ask. A citizen is an inhabitant of a city, a town, or a state, one entitled to the rights and privileges of a free man, one who owes allegiance to a government as an entitled to the protection from it. Let me read that again. And think about this. What's a citizen? He's an inhabitant of a city, a town, or a state, one entitled to the rights and privileges of a free man. Glory to God. One who owes allegiance to a government as an entitled to its protection from it. Glory to God. In other words, man, once you become a citizen, like of the United States, there are certain rights and privileges that you have. There's also some protection that comes by it. It used to be, now sometimes this gets skewed a little bit, but if you're in the other country and you said, listen, I'm an American citizen, it meant something. And it said, give me to my embassy because they will stick up for me, they will take care of me because I'm their own. right? And watch this. I'm not talking about America as much as I am talking about our citizenship in heaven. Why do people so hard and immigrate to the United States? Why do they want to come? Because it's the land of opportunity. It's the land of blessing. Right? That they know, look, if you're making $1 an hour in your hometown, you know that if you get up there, you could be making $15 or $20 an hour. Duh. Right? But once they get here, they don't want to just be here. They want to work on a path to become a citizen here. Why? Because a citizen's not going to get kicked out. A citizen has every right that anybody else has. Are you with me? So if I'm a citizen of the United States, and I've known a few people, and it's really an honor to see when they go before and they become naturalized citizens of the United States. It's an awesome thing. But why did they do that? And most of the time, or the ones that I've known, are so proud that they are citizens of the United States. Why? Because they fought to get here, and they fought to stay here. Because there was something about being in the United States that gave them a status that they desired. Right? Well, man, the United States has nothing on heaven. Let me just say that again. The United States has nothing on heaven. So I am a citizen of the state of heaven. And I'm entitled to the rights and privileges of a free man in heaven. Right? Watch this. And I owe my allegiance to heaven. And I get my protection from heaven. Woo! Glory to God. Glory to God. Come on, I'm a free man in Christ Jesus. He who the Son has set free is free indeed. I have a right and privileges, and I don't take it lightly. I honor that. I don't take it for granted. Here's something else that somebody, and I watch this, and I watch with tears coming down their eyes, somebody who had immigrated from Cuba to the United States, and when they got over here and they went through all the path and became a citizen, and they've been in the United States for a long time, and he went before a Senate committee, and in that Senate committee you can see tears on his face. He's saying, "What are you doing going down this socialistic road? I've escaped from that. Don't do it. Don't go back there. Don't, you know." Now watch this. And again, as an American, that makes me emotional. But from the standpoint of equating that to heaven, right? We've got a government that's based not on democracy, but theocracy, and that God's in charge and God's on the throne and God is the ruler of my life and the ruler of my heart. I've been without that. I've been without that. Before I got saved, I was on the throne. That didn't work so well, right? And I don't want to go back there. I want to keep Him on the throne. Are you with me? I'm a citizen of heaven, and God is my king. Woo! Glory to God. Ephesians chapter 2. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm a citizen of heaven. Say that with me. I am a citizen of heaven. Jesus is my Lord. Jesus is my Lord. My Lord, God's been good to me. Come on. Woo! Glory to God. Verse 8. Chapter 2, verse 8. Very familiar, but let's read these in the context of what we're talking about this morning. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Amen. I was saved by grace. What's grace? Grace is God giving something to me that I can't earn, that I don't deserve, that there's no way that I could say, I earned this, because it's impossible to earn grace. Grace is given. I've been saved. What does that mean? I've been delivered from the penalty that would have kept me out of the promise or the presence of God for eternity. There's no way that I could be in the same region, the same realm, or in the same kingdom as He is. Because of my transgression and because of the transgression of others. But grace said, even though you don't deserve it, I want to do it. And so by grace, I've been translated. Come on, is anybody in here in the same position? Come on. I have been saved by grace through faith. Thank you, Lord. I believe. Not of works. I can't boast about it. I can't say, boy, look at me. I can't look at anybody else and look down on them and go, I'm a Christian. You dirty, rotten sinner. Right? You filthy. I mean, anytime we get into that type of attitude, we got to remember how we got where we are. Come on. And that's available to anybody who will act on it. Right? There's nobody that's too far gone. I said there's nobody that's too far gone. Nobody. I mean, just, and so I'm not of this world. I've been born again. Watch this again. Verse 10 says that we're His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. I'm a child of God. I've been born again by the Spirit of God. I have the Spirit of God living on the inside of me. But when I got saved, even before I got saved, God knew what I was going to do after I got saved. And He has a purpose and a plan for me, and He does for you too. Right? And the devil will put you in a position where you question it by this. You'll say, well, I'm too old. I'm too young. I'm to this, I'm to that, but God's grace pushes through all of that. I want you to just take your age for a minute and add a million years to it. Right? Now watch this. If somebody is born right now so that they're 0 years old, And I'm, 68 years old, right? Well, what's the difference between a million and 1,068,000? Not much, right? Not much. You look at that, it's just going to be just, right? So age has no factor in the kingdom. Come on. Age has no factor in the kingdom. So quit letting the enemy beat you up by telling you your insignificance by who you are. You tell him who Jesus is. Come on. You tell. Excuse me. I hear what you're saying. There may be some truth in what you're saying, but I got to tell you this right now. I'm His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. God is going to use me. God is going to help me. God is, because I'm no longer by myself. I'm with Him. I'm in Him. I'm glory to God. Verse 11 says, therefore remember that you once Gentiles in the flesh, who are no longer called, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision, made by the flesh of hands. In other words, anybody that was in the group that were circumcised looked at everybody outside and said, you are, you're less than us. And because you couldn't be born into our family the way we look, the way we act, you can never measure up to who we are. And God said, no, that's not going to work. He says, listen, anybody that's in Christ, whether they're of this family or that family, are the same, because I look at them not through their heritage, not through their lineage, but through the blood of Jesus Christ. Come on. We're one, whether we like it or not. Come on. prejudice has to leave the body of Christ. And the only way that can do that is if it leaves all of us. Right? So whatever our prejudices are, we need to come up against and say, Lord, show me the truth. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Right? Right? Cultures change, but the gospel remains the same. Right? But if you're sitting on the judgment going, boy, I'm better than they are, how could they eat that? Collard greens? I'm not eating collard greens. They're delicious, by the way. But the reality is, watch this. We can't look at ourselves and others in the body of Christ and also the potential members of the body of Christ through the lens of judgment. We've got to look at them through the possibility of the blood. I want everybody to immigrate to the to heaven, to the kingdom of God. I want everybody there. I want everybody involved. I don't want anybody excluded. Glory to God. Verse 13 says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Come on, that was weak. Come on, that's me. I was far off. I was without God. I was without any possibility of being in His presence. Do you understand? But when I gave my heart to Jesus, when I let Him be Lord of my life, He brought me near. I am now cleansed. I'm washed. I'm sanctified. I've been adopted. I'm beloved by God. I'm in the family of God. I'm no longer a citizen of this earth only, but I have a citizenship that's in heaven. Glory to God. I've got to start living my life based on who I belong and where I belong. I am a child of God. I am a citizen of heaven. What does that mean? I'm an inhabitant of heaven. I'm entitled to the rights and privileges of a free man. Come on. I'm a chosen generation. I'm a royal priesthood. I've been given authority on this earth, and that authority is in the name of Jesus, and I need to begin to stand up and act like it even while I'm here. But I also need to live my life to represent the one to whom I belong. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So when the flesh says, I want, I say no. Right? When my feelings get hurt, I need to push past the feelings. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Look, we have to get to the place where we trust God and we act as if this earth doesn't mean that much. Paul said this way, and you've heard me say this before, but it just blows my mind every time I think about it. He said, these trivial present things that I've gone through, they're nothing compared to the eternal weight of glory. See, Paul, through Revelation, had seen heaven. Amen. He'd been up there. He said, man, a few beatings, no big deal. Shipwrecked, swimming in the sea for all night, that's not a big deal. All my countrymen hating me, no sweat. Because he'd seen the kingdom that he belonged to. Amen. Become kingdom-minded, become citizen of heaven-minded. Watch this. Verse 14, for he himself is our peace who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation. If you look at people through Jesus, and especially your brothers and sisters who are saved, there's no division. I don't care what church they're in. I don't care what their church culture is. If Jesus is Lord of their life, then we're one together. That's it. Well, I don't think God likes the Catholics. I don't think God likes the Episcopalians. I don't, you know, after all, we were delivered from shush. If Jesus is the Lord of their lives, you're one. I think we're all going to get a shock when we get to heaven. How did she get here? Right? How did he get here? So don't be too quick to judge. Verse 15 says, having abolished in his flesh the enmity that is the law of commandments contained in the ordinances, so as created himself one new man from the two, making peace, that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, therefore putting to death the enmity. Glory to God. Jesus, I wish we could just get a picture of what the cross did for you and for me. God's no longer mad at you. There's no more enmity between us. And really, there's no enmity between you and me. Think about this for a minute. Think about another Christian that just rubs you the wrong way. And it's you know, here's something. You don't have to like everything about everybody, because you probably won't. Well, no, you won't, right? But it doesn't mean you can't still love them, right? And in heaven, one day, you're going to be with them. And you're going to be with them a long, 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 long time, right? There's some people, I just got to tell you, that are weird. To me. They're just completely weird out there. But they're not weird to God. Neither are you. Anyway, but watch. watch. He came, verse 17, and preached peace to you who are far off and to those who are near. For through him we both have access by faith. By one Spirit to the Father. I have access to the King because Jesus became Lord of my life. And I'm a citizen of heaven. And therefore, I have the right. Now, I didn't earn it, and I'm not arrogant about it, but I'm very humbled by it. But I have the right to come boldly before His throne of grace and talk to Him. When Linda was talking earlier about coming before Him and standing up against the enemy, the only reason that I can do that is because the blood of Jesus has given me the authority to do that. It's not because I'm big. I'm just huge in the Spirit, and I'm just this guy out there. Come on. Anybody that puffs themselves up as some spiritual giant, you know, you just blow bubbles at them or something. But just say, no, there's only one that's big in the Spirit. There's only one. His name is Jesus. Now, if I'm in Him, I'm big because I'm in Him, but not because of me. It's all because of the blood. And it's because of the blood, I have access by one Spirit to the Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. He knows my name. I said, He knows my name. And God likes me. So there. Anyway, so look at this now. Verse 19. We're getting to the verse that I want to get to. Now therefore you are no strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Again, I was telling you before that I've watched friends and even some family members who've gone through the process of going and becoming naturalized United States citizens. The moment they get that card, the moment they take that test and they stand up in the Senate or wherever they are, the courthouse, and they raise their hand and they give they pledge allegiance, whatever they do. I don't know the exact thing, but when they do that, the minute that they do that and they say, okay, now you're a citizen, then every right that one who is mourned there is the same as the one who has been brought in there. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So before I was outside of the privileges, I couldn't claim all the rights. But once I went through the process, I'm here. I'm here. Now, I could have come from here, got to here, but still felt the same way that I felt here. And by that I'm saying that I might have the right to do something now, but I'm still a little bit scared of doing it. I'm still not sure of, is that really true for me or not? Can I really vote? Can I really bear arms? Can I really get a passport? Can I really do that? And the answer is absolutely. Why? Because you have constitutional authority to do anything, because you are now not an outsider, but you are now a naturalized citizen of the United States of America. I was outside of the kingdom, but then I made Jesus the Lord of my life, and that brought me into the kingdom. So I'm no longer a foreigner looking to come in on a visa. I'm no longer a foreigner who doesn't have the right to be there. I can walk up to the front of the line, show my card, and say, come on in. See, you know, you've heard the stories about St. Peter at the gate, right? All those things, totally fictitious, but you know, all you have to do to St. Peter when you get to the gate, the blood. That's it. The blood. Come on in. The blood. Come on in. Why? Because I have now citizenship, as we're going to see, in the household of God. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. I like this so much. But fellow citizens, equal citizenship. What does that mean? I mean, think about this for just a minute. Don't you want to just talk to people like Moses, David, Solomon? I mean, all of them. Wouldn't you just love to spend a little bit of time with Paul? Peter? John? Wouldn't you love to just be in their presence for a little while? This says we're fellow citizens with them. I think there's positions in heaven and all of that, but the citizenship that's based on the blood of Jesus means that we're all the same. I have every... as much right to be there as Paul does. I'll go one further, and this one will, even saying it, it's like, oh God, I don't want to be sacrilegious, but it's not. I have the same right to be in heaven as Jesus. I said, I have the same right. The Bible says that I'm a joint heir with Christ. I'm a joint heir. What does that mean? That He and I are one in the Spirit. And the blood of Jesus has made me a partaker of the... So I'm a citizen of heaven. Glory to God. I'm a citizen. Having been built on a foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into the holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place for God in the Spirit. You are a citizen of heaven. Glory to God. Citizens have rights. Citizens have privileges. It's time for us to stand up in the Spirit and begin to pray as citizens of heaven. Begin to declare some things as citizens of heaven. Quit looking at the devil as part of his kingdom. Begin to look at him from the citizenship that you have in heaven. It is amazing. Remember when they sent out 72, they came back to Jesus, and they were going, "Woo, glory to God, this is so exciting, we're so excited." He said, "Listen, even demons are subject to them in your name." And he said, "That's cool, that's good." But he said, "Don't get so excited about that. But get excited about the fact that your name are written in the Lamb's Book of Life." Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are one with Him. We are one with Him. Glory to God. Just a couple of things. I don't have time to turn there, so I'm just going to really quickly close. That means I'm going to talk fast, take notes. No. There are certain things that we should not put up with on this earth, because we're citizens of heaven. Remember the woman that came before Jesus and she was healed, right? She was healed, and the Pharisees got upset because she was healed on the Sabbath day. And he didn't say it this way. This is my translation. "Are you an idiot? Shouldn't this daughter of Abraham, who's been bound all this time, be free? She's under the covenant. This daughter of Abraham is under the covenant. That's the old covenant. We have a new covenant now." So it's like, depression, what are you doing here? I don't belong to you. You don't belong to me. I'm going to stand up, not in my own strength, not in my own ability, but I'm standing up in the blood of Jesus. I declare I will not be a partaker of what you're selling. Why? Because I have been entitled to certain rights and privileges. I owe my allegiance to the one who died for me, but he also gives me his protection. Glory, glory to God. Glory to God. There's so many things. Paul did this, and I'll close with this. Paul was taken before the Roman authority, and they whipped him, and they were going to sentence him and whatever, and they were about to do something, and he said, excuse me, he said, "How is it that you've done this to a Roman citizen without the proper due course?" And I'm reading into this a little bit. It freaked out the people who had just done that, because that was not allowed. Once you were a Roman citizen, you had privileges and honor. It didn't matter that you were Jewish. It didn't matter whether you were a different ethnicity. It didn't matter, because the fact is you are now a citizen of Rome, and citizens of Rome were treated in a certain way. And you could not violate that. You could do something else to somebody who wasn't a citizen, but you can't do that to me. I was a citizen of earth, but I got born again. I got filled with His Spirit. I made Jesus the Lord of my life, and I became a citizen of heaven. Come on, devil, you have no place in me. You have no place in my family. You have no place in my finances. You have no place in me, because I am not in your kingdom. But I'm a citizen of the kingdom of God. Amen. So stand up in your citizenship. Take out the documentation that we've read this morning and wave it before anybody that tells you differently and say, "Well, just a minute, excuse me. Excuse me, I got my card right here." condemnation, I just got to tell you right now, the blood of Jesus has given me free access to the throne of grace. And I'm no longer a stranger, I'm no longer a foreigner, but I'm now a citizen of the kingdom of God. And I absolutely refuse to live less than the price that was paid for me in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, 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 amen. Y'all get something this morning? Woo! Well, go act like it. Go pray like it. Go declare like it. Go begin to live like it. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for your word. I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your mercy. Lord, my country needs your mercy. I'm not against anybody, Lord. I'm not totally not against anybody. But Lord, I pray for your righteousness to come back to the United States. I pray, Father, that awakening would happen in your spirit, Father, in this country, God. I pray, Father, over every person that's listening to me right now. If they're not a citizen of the kingdom of God, then Lord, that all they have to do is believe in their heart and confess with their mouth that Jesus is Lord and that God raised him from the dead, and you'll be saved. What does that mean? That you'll be brought into his kingdom. By faith, you're saved. So if you're there and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, just open up your heart to him and say, Jesus, I need you. Come in. I believe that you're the Messiah. I believe you died for my sins. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Then get into his word and find out what he's done for you. And then act on it in Jesus' name. If you need prayer, give us a call. And we just love you. We appreciate you. We praise God for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.